Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
How's it going, everybody? Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Welcome to New Life Live. Wherever you're listening today, thanks for making us a part of your day. We are super thankful that you have joined us. We're here for 2 hours a day taking your calls. 1-800-229-3000 is the number, and I get to hang out with Alice Benton. Hi, Alice.
Hey.
Good to see you.
You too,
and Dr.
Zach.
Jill Hubbard.
Hello, Zach.
Great to be with you. We were talking before the break. Yes, mm-hmm. You too. We're talking before the break about Alice and her family having an experience volunteering at a farm.
Yeah.
And you said that your husband had a run-in with an animal.
With a rooster. I think there was some alpha male fighting going on.
Wow.
And we still haven't determined who won, but my husband is limping and the rooster is strutting.
Yeah. And you haven't been back yet, so.
We haven't been invited back yet.
Yeah. Intruder alert. That's hilarious. So when you showed the farm stuff, like, I just think about my childhood in Indiana. Like, it was just farmland as far as the eye could see, you know. And so I'm glad you got to experience something like that, mm-hmm. even though your husband
yes, on
may
the
have
California
left.
Coast, right? We yeah. don't have a
it's
lot.
It's a
of
bit
farmland.
Unusual. We're trying mm-hmm. to keep life off screen interesting,
yes.
and that was the
you
that
are.
Was the point.
That is creative.
That's right. Alice, if your husband is listening, he can give us a call here at 1-800-229-3000. We can provide comfort. No, I ran this. I read this quote recently. I wanted to throw you guys to you just as we do a little quick intro here. I heard this great quote from Pastor Hart Ramsey recently, and I wanted to throw this to you. So he said, "You can't spend your life giving advice and then be the kind of person who can't receive counsel." So this idea of, and maybe there's somebody listening today that finds themselves, people are coming to me for advice, and I'm always the one giving it out. But then when somebody, you're resistant to the advice from others. And I'd mm-hmm. love to hear you guys, just from that kind of the counseling chair, if you will, how do you help people recognize, hey, you seem to be somewhat bent towards seeing other people's flaws, telling them what they need to do, their action steps, but you seem to be a bit allergic to receiving that for yourself, and that's probably hard to self-identify, but how do you help people do that? Jill, what do you think?
Well, I think, too, sometimes it's under the guise, Zach, of the most noblest of intentions, right? Mm-hmm. Really
yeah,
wanting
right.
to help and, in some ways, overhelp, and then being really disappointed when people don't take their advice, right? Because most of us, even if we ask for advice, we use that to figure out then what we don't want, right?
Yes.
So that we can move forward. So that can feel like a rejection. But to be someone that feels like they have the answers for everyone else and yet not themselves, I think a lot of people in leadership fall under that. Mm. And I think yeah. sometimes there's shame at the core that somehow because they're the helper, they should already figured it all out, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That they should know, and that if they don't know and they have to ask for help, then how can they give advice to others?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's
a misnomer, I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah, yeah.
That
Alice, what do you think?
People have to recognize.
Well, if this is someone, maybe a family member that we're engaging with on a regular basis, I advise three little steps to take. One, praise it if you can. I know you want to help me, and you share wisdom with me, and mm-hmm. it helped me this particular time. Thank you for that. I do notice that it's hard for you to receive my feedback when I give it to you, and I think I would be more receptive to your good advice if you'd be able to hear mine sometimes, too. What do you think about that? And to bring it up when the advice giving is not taking place.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, and understanding the context and the right moment of how to have those conversations is probably half the battle, too.
It sure
so
is.
You may be in a place today where you need some advice. You find yourself in a place of just challenge, hardship, suffering, whether that's self-inflicted or it's happening to you, please give us a call. We would love to at least be good listeners and try to offer help where we can. You can give us a call. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. Zach Matchett here with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard. We'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey guys, welcome to New Life Live. If you're joining us today, thanks so much for hanging out. I am with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. My name is Zach Matchett, and we would love to take your calls today. Again, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be here for 2 hours. And I wanted to just mention something we have coming up on July 15th in Dallas called our Restore Workshop. This is specifically for women who have been impacted by sexual betrayal by someone, a spouse primarily. But if you're looking for healing and a path forward, this is a great workshop for you. And if you sign up before July 1st, you could save $200. So if you want any more information about that, just visit newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Ladies, this is a great option, a resource for people that find themselves in this situation. Do you have just a couple of things you might encourage people that would be, I'd like to go, I like the idea of going, but it's hard, I want to volunteer myself. So what would you say to kind of put them over the edge to go?
I want to speak to the ones who hear it and think, I don't have to go. It's not my fault I'm in this situation. Right. My husband needs to go. The man needs to go. And then maybe I'll consider. If you're feeling the justified anger and bitterness, the betrayal, the resentment, as anyone would, this weekend brings in so much shalom, and it brings in the support of community. So I see women come in so angry, rightly so, that they have to be there, that they have this problem to deal with. But girls, by the time you leave, you're linked arms with other women who understand, and you have a plan of what to do and how to take care of yourself, no matter what that man in your life is doing. And so it really empowers and equips you.
And then that's for those women who have been rocked to their core, right, and feel so alone, and like, how could they share this with anyone, right? Because it must be something about them, right, that this happened to them. And so those are the women, too, we want to reach. We don't want you to be alone, right? There is power in coming together and realizing that that other people are there to walk with you through it, and that
that's
you
right.
can get through it.
Absolutely. And so if that's something you want to take advantage of, again, you can visit newlife.com, get more information. Again, it's on July 15th, but if you sign up by July 1st, you get $200 off. And I would just co-sign with what the lady said. And even just thinking about, even if I'm not the perpetrator in a situation, it did affect me. So there is work to be done of just whether at the very least how to deal with it, how to move forward with it, how to cope with it, how to overcome it, grow. I mean, there's so many things that we can do to really work on ourselves, even if something is happening, quote unquote, to us that we didn't necessarily cause ourselves. So that's good wisdom to throw in there, guys. So we're going to go to our first call here. This is John. He's listening to us in Texas on KWRD. I hope I said that right. Hi, John. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Yes. Hey there. Basically, there's a lot that I have got to figure out here. I've been married 25 years, and basically, I'm just trying to see what to do in the marriage. Basically, just trying to make a long story short as possible is, you know, both me and my wife have been, you know, pretty broken from family things, and, you know, before we even came together, and have both had a history of, you know, pornography, both of us, stuff like that. And, you know, I know that I've hurt her a lot in the past, things I've said and done, and, you know, stuff like that. She knows me more than anybody knows me, and vice versa. And she's herself is to the point where she pretty much has checked out in life from years ago, and is pretty much don't really do anything at all. And I pretty much I'm the sole support. I've been the sole support for years, and basically I'm not like trying to get out of a situation or try to, I'm not trying to leave or anything like that. I've considered that over the years, but I do want something, I do want change. But we've really struggled a lot with situations.
Would you say, John, sorry to cut you off. Hey, John, I want to make sure that we kind of, this is all super helpful for us as far as context. When you started the call, it kind of just sounded like there was just a conflict in general in your marriage, but I really appreciate the context here. What would you, your specific question about how we can help you, would it just be how to move forward with all this going on, or is there something more specific than that?
Man, the problem is that I feel like there's more than just one question here, you know? And that's what I'm saying. It's a pile of mess. I'm trying to figure out how do I get my wife and I to get on a healing recovery track and live life again together, you know, and like be the couple that I feel maybe the Lord would want us to be, moving down the road together. And I don't know what to do. My wife is, doesn't really honestly do much of anything ever, hardly even moves out of the house or anything, and I know she's got a lot of things and I do too, but I mean we need to, and I've
that's a great question
for myself quite a bit.
John, tell us about the kind of help you've gotten in the past for this problem.
We've been to counseling before and I disclosed to my counselors with her in a marriage counseling deal, kind of my problem that I felt like was an issue for her and for me for a good while, and I honestly felt that in my heart regardless, but I still struggled with it regardless. But every counselor I ever came to would go, oh, what's the big deal? It's just a thing. Everybody's got a thing, you know? And I've heard that from Christian counselors as well as, you know, people that don't like, that's not their foundation or base, you know, that they...
So John, there may be two different reasons for this, because the way you're presenting the problem to us, we hear the severity of it. Mm-hmm. You're being very eloquent in your description. So it may have been that you described the problem differently in the past, or the counselor wasn't the right fit. If you were describing pornography, I think that there are quite a few secular counselors, it sounds like some Christian in your experience, who might not see it as problematic. But what you're telling us, we see that this is a very big problem at this point. What would hold you back now, John, from trying again with another therapist who's able to see the significance of what's going on?
Nothing, honestly. I was just trying to... figure out, because it's to the point where my wife's health is really on the line with just the fact that she kind of checked out in life and really doesn't do anything to change anything to get any better. It's like she has no inspiration, no sense of urgency in life, no aspirations, nothing, you know. And I've in the past have said, honey, if I'm the guy that has ruined you and have caused you this heartache and caused you the problems we're having, I said, I don't want to be that guy. And I said, I would like to figure this out. But if I come from any other angle and I'm kind of presenting it in a way like I'm trying to help, half the time when I try to help, it sounds more like I'm pointing the finger or accusing, and I'm not really trying to do that. I'm just trying to get movement, you know?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Well, and John, would you say your wife is feeling hopeless and has just resigned herself?
I wouldn't doubt it, honestly, because when she was a little girl, her mom left out of her life when she was like 13. I never seen her again.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And so she, she's got big deals. And, I've talked to her about certain things. She's like, well, I've already forgiven all that. That's, the past. I mean,
sure. Okay. She may have forgiven.
I had a lot of things.
She may have forgiven, but that's not all the work that needs to be done, right? It still happened to her, and there's fallout as a result. And it's shaped the way she deals with relationship and the way she approaches life. I mean, it really does sound like she's just kind of resigned herself, has become very passive, and almost feeling less in a lot of ways as a way of surviving, right? Shrinking yourself to the least amount of energy and effort is a way to conserve and to perhaps keep other bad things from happening, right? If you don't take any risks, you don't get out there, you don't get hurt, and maybe you won't be left. At the same time, she's leaving herself, right? She's not fighting for herself or for you, and that's really a sad thing to see. John, is the pornography still continuing?
A long time ago, it stopped for her. I honestly don't really dabble. It's not like a continuum for me anymore.
Do you use porn to cope?
Yes,
you
do. Yes,
and
yes, and in fact, sometimes it's I won't go into it, but
right. Okay. I do think you guys need to be in counseling. But I'm also thinking something else to kind of jumpstart. And, you know, we offer lots of programs that really help with that, that can help kind of ignite your counseling, right? And I'm wondering about Every Man's Battle for you. Even though you're saying, well, maybe it's not as bad as it once was, there's so much more that you get from this this intensive than just the pornography issue. You really look at all that's underneath it. And sometimes we focus on the person that we think is hurting the most, right, in our family. But we can't make somebody want to get help.
Mm-hmm.
But you, as being her partner and connected to her, for you to do something more significant will impact her and may even be a light for her to do some of her own work. And so I think, in some ways, you need to lead by example here and say, okay, I realize that this has been a lingering problem for me. You were able to put it aside. I haven't been able to. And it sneaks up every so often. And I'm going to go and get some help for that so that at least I've got that, you know, that I'm clear on that issue so I can know what I really do need to work on moving forward. And I'm not just avoiding my problems by escaping into the pornography. Would that be something you'd be willing to do, John?
It sounds like John is willing to try something different. So we want to connect you with that weekend. And John, I want to just gently point out, because I so respect your humility in making this confession to us. It can be surprising how destructive ongoing and occasional pornography use can be to a wife, especially as she has disconnected. She probably has pulled away in a lot of different ways. But pornography use, no matter how infrequent it is, it leaves a wife generally feeling less than inadequate. You'd prefer to turn to a screen rather than turn to me, even if there's a lack of willingness to engage in emotional intimacy or physical intimacy. It eats away at a woman's self-esteem and her sense of safety in a relationship. So although your wife very likely needs assistance for depression, but you're right, for some of the wounds that have been caused through the marriage, Restore, which is happening there in Texas, is the weekend for her as well. So I would present it as, I would like you to attend this weekend to help undo some of the harm that I have perpetrated, and I'll be going to Every Man's Battle so that I can clean up my side of the street.
Yeah, well said. Well, I think, too, like, the hardest leadership is the leadership of the self. And so when you are, let's just say in this marriage relationship where you're seeing your spouse struggle, feeling resigned, feeling as though they've given up, and maybe you feel like the one that's showing the resolve or willing to show the resilience to try to get better. There's still, and this is why I'd love to hear you ladies think too, like, couples counseling is super important, super helpful for married couples in therapy. But there's also this track of, like, individually working things out as well. So Jill shaking your head. So why would you see the importance of just the both and of that, is I guess my question.
Well, I think they go hand in hand, because there are the individual issues, as John said, that she had brokenness, and I'm sure he did too, before they ever got married. And he's seen in his wife that lingering. So those issues need to be addressed. Now, they can be addressed in marital, but individual would be really helpful as well.
Yeah. No, that's good. We're holistic beings, like our past, our present, our thoughts about the future. All those things are going to affect us in the present in some way, shape, or form. And so, John, I hope at the very least, that you were encouraged today and found at least a sliver of hope, and sometimes that's all we need. And so we're going to send you Every Man's Battle. Highly recommend the Restore Workshop for your wife. And so thanks again for calling in. If you're waiting to get a call with us, stay on the line. We'll be with you just in a minute. Again, 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us on New Life Live. Zach Matchett here. Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton are with me. We just got off the phone with John talking about his marriage and just wanting to get that the feeling of feeling stuck in your marriage and you don't know how to move forward. And he just like, there's only too many questions for me to kind of ask. And so, John, we hope that was helpful.
Well, I know. And I was saying, I feel like all of our workshops would be great for them. The emotional freedom workshop, yeah. Like the How We Love workshop. But
right. That's great. No, I agree.
That's why I think, we create these, right?
Absolutely. Well, and two, if you are someone who has benefited from one of those things or know someone who has, we would love to send you a gift. If you contribute in any way, just through the generosity of those that you give, you make the opportunity available to many to experience these things. And so if you give during the month of June, as we're wrapping it up here, we're going to send you a copy of Dave Stoop's book, Making Peace with Your Father. And we say this often, but so many times our relationship with our earthly biological or step parents or whatever can sometimes reflect well or poorly towards our relationship with God. And we think this book would be super helpful. Again, How to Make Peace with Your Earthly Father so you can have a closer relationship with your Heavenly Father. So if you give during the month of June here in these last few days, we would love to send you a copy of Dave's book. It's such an important part of our team for so many years here at New Life. We'd love to send you that resource. So thanks for doing that. We're going to go to Julie next. She is next here on the line. She is listening to us in Pennsylvania. Hi, Julie. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Hey, so thanks so much for taking my call.
Of course.
I'm calling for some help on how to let my daughter know I love her. We've always had sort of a difficult relationship, I would say, and we just had a blow up this last week. She's an adult. She's married with. She just had her third baby, and I've tried to, respect her as much as I can. I think this last time we were, I was with her a few days, helping with the baby, and she does. I couldn't do enough. She tells me she doesn't feel like I care about her, which is like, what? And I think what I've come to a little bit is she's very independent. She's very capable in a lot of ways. She's a high achiever, but she hates to admit she needs help or anything. So it almost seems like she doesn't want to have to ask for help, but I want to do what I can, but we've had a history of, she's always been quiet about when she's upset, she'll be quiet and not share what's upsetting her. And as she's become an adult and gotten married, her husband has been good in helping her to, work through stuff, but she still struggles to admit her weakness. So I'm asking for help. I'm at the point, I really want to go to counseling with her to figure this all out, but I'm afraid she'd be resistant to that. But, yeah, any wisdom on how to process this and move forward?
Yeah, thanks for calling, Julie. What do you ladies think?
Well, Julie, good question. And sometimes, and it's, I know as a mom, it's discouraging when you feel like you pour your heart and your soul into these kids, right? You could not love them more. And then they say things like this, right? I mean, my favorite line from my daughter when she was regaling me with all the things I had done wrong and all the ways I hadn't been there for her. And then in her upset, she says, well, you were there for me emotionally, but not in any other way. And I went, oh, yay, I was there for her emotionally. That was my number one goal, right? So I was secretly secretly really pleased. Like, yes, yes, I pick you up late from school. Well, that's no secret, right? So sometimes, though, they just need us to really hear their upset and all the ways in which they felt disappointed. And I think kids do have expectations that probably no human could meet, right? And so depending on how they're wired, and there might be something in her, as you said, she's quiet, that just wants you to know. If you really loved her, you would just know. And she's going to find out, as her children get older, there is no way for you to just know. And people perceive things differently. So throughout life, even though you may have been a good mom, there are those moments where we have misattunements with our children. And so I think we can own those, because those are some of the things that kids kind of harbor, where they felt alone or disappointed or not met or not seen. And so I think to be able to maybe say to your daughter, you know, I know that there's no way I could have, you know, as much as I tried, been always the parent you needed. And, you know, I would really like to understand how I hurt you through the years. What were the things that you wished were different? What kind of mom did you see me as? I know how I saw myself, but I don't know it from your eyes. And would you be willing to tell me?
Yeah, that's good. Alice, you have anything you want to add?
Julie, if you already know what one of those ruptures in relationship was, at least in your daughter's experience, even if you see it differently, adding that as an option in the way Jill's advising you to address this, I know that it really hurt when I fill in the blank for your daughter, to give her permission to talk about that particular incident. And it shows that you've really thought about ways in which it might have felt like you didn't care for her. I'll bring my own daughter into the conversation, too. I think there's just a setup between us mothers and daughters for this very wounding.
Yes.
My 7-year-old Julie, she says the same thing to me. Sometimes I don't think that you care about me. And it can be that her pain...
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the 1-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Zach Matchin here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard are with me. We just kind of forgot what happens at the break when there's only like 15 seconds left of music.
Actually,
so,
it was an intentional cliffhanger on my part.
Yes.
I'm just that good,
yes,
Zach.
Yes, it was a cliffhanger.
It's like that thing on Netflix where you're just like, do you want to keep watching this show or whatever? Yes, we want to keep listening to Alice. Let's move to the next episode. No, in all seriousness, Julie's on the line here and talking about her adult daughter just gave birth to their third child, and doesn't feel like Julie is helping enough. Maybe there's more specifics to that, but just not stepping in and helping enough. And so, Alice, you were kind of addressing that, so I just want to give you the floor to kind of finish up that point you were making.
Paradoxically, sometimes we get this accusation because we are the safest person in their life emotionally, and they project some other pain onto us. But of course, it's mixed with our imperfection as a mom. But when my daughter is hurt by people at school or by her brothers, she tends to bring this accusation to me that I'm the one that doesn't care about her. And so it's a mixture of some history my daughter and I have, and a mixture of the way other people treat her. And we attempt to tease it out. I go to the comfort circle from Mylan Carolyn and Kay Yurkovich's book, How We Love and How We Love Our Kids, to just listen to my daughter. And I try to restrain myself from justifying and Julie pointing out, I was just there with you for days, helping you, serving you hand and foot. What do you mean I don't care for you? Because that's the inclination. Lastly, right. We end with, what is it that you want from me? How would you feel cared by me? Is there some other way I can do this? Sometimes our children have an answer. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah, well said. And what I was saying during the break that nobody's in their right mind raising an infant. Just especially in those earliest days.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't say that to undermine at all. So please hear me. I don't say that to undermine at all how you felt by the things that she's doing. We have twins, a boy and a girl, but our oldest daughter was only 22 months when the twins were born.
Ooh.
And it basically felt like we had three babies all at once.
Oh,
and
yes.
So, and that whole, I mean, the first 4 weeks of that is just a total blur. And I felt like I was just constantly going to her house saying I'm sorry all the time because I just knew that I wasn't at my best. And so I do think that maybe there's some of that has been exaggerated. Maybe it's postpartum depression. Maybe it's just the stress of trying to adjust to having a third child or whatever the case may be. It's revealing something that's already been there, but it's just exaggerating it or inflating the issue. And therefore, to you, Julie, making it even more obvious, more visible. And what I'm hearing from you is more hurtful to some degree, you know, like to have to kind of deal with that. And so I think
I was thinking during the break.
Oh, go ahead, Julie.
I'm like, I thought we had worked past it, you know, like we were doing pretty good. And then it's just like it comes back again. I'm like, shoot, we still haven't gotten through this. So,
Julie, that's very normal. It seems as if we have to recycle through pain periodically.
Yes.
And it could be that you did reach resolve, but something else that occurred in life, whether it had to do with you or not, dug some of that back up again or just reopened the wound that had closed up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Julie, you're a good mom, and I'm sure you're a great grandma, too. And so I want to make sure that we're going to send you a copy of How We Love Our Kids, especially just as you move our kids move into adulthood. That's just, again, those relationships morph and change. It's a different phase, but there's still great strengthening of those relationships that can happen. It was that next phase happens and they move on and have their own family. So, Julie, we're going to send you a copy of that. Thanks so much for the call. I wanted to, just briefly before we get to our next call here, let you know that we're in a match campaign right now. And every gift that you give to New Life through your generosity is going to actually be matched. It's going to be doubled. And again, I just can't say enough how many stories, as someone who is fairly new to this ministry and new to this program and new to just the radio. And I just know that there's so many stories of life change. We hear about them all the time. And when you give, you're making it possible for somebody else to have that opportunity to, whether it be attend a workshop, get support through a group, find recovery resources and healing resources, and even just something like this, just giving a call on our show and having somebody listen to it. And so if at the very least, if this program is helpful, please share it with a friend that you know may be going through a struggle that they may benefit from it. But again, we would love to meet this matching goal. So please visit newlife.com for more information. And just know that when you're giving, it's just making a huge difference. We just continuously hear stories over and over and over of people that are benefiting from your generosity. So thank you so much. Let's go ahead and go to, I'm looking here, Ellie. Ellie is listening to us in Pennsylvania. So hi, Ellie. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. How can we help?
Well, I am in a very serious conflict with my sisters. I'm the youngest. And it's regarding a 60-year-old family secret that was uncovered, and it's affected us all in different ways. And the conflict right now is such that I and my husband have a very different conviction as to how we're going to live our life with the news of this new reality in our family, and my two sisters and their husbands feel very differently and basically are demanding that I go along with the way they want things to be. So,
wow, that's challenging. 60 years. Oh my goodness. That's, I mean, even I felt the weight of that when you said that. I mean, that's six decades of secrecy. Sorry, Alice, I cut you off. You were going to jump in here.
Ellie, could you go in a little more detail about the nature of the secret and the differences in views of the expectations of how you should deal with it?
So 2.5 years ago, my middle sister did a DNA test with my oldest sister being the comparison, and it came back that my middle sister is only a half-sister, and we never knew this. So naturally, it's affected her the most, and the three of us have supported each other through this, and my understanding was that we were all being compassionate towards each other as to how to support my middle sister, and it's been we've all been on the same page as far as I knew, except that my two older sisters are having a harder time managing their relationship with our mother, and I have let them know from the beginning that I'm okay to continue a relationship with her, but they're distancing themselves, and they feel that it's not right for me to continue a relationship with my mom in the way that I choose to do.
Wow.
They want you to disconnect with your mother. To what extent do they want you to stop talking to her completely?
Well, it seems that that's what that's the way it kind of comes across. They've besides that, they've also said, "Well, then you need to let her know." They're kind of putting me in the middle, basically. You need to tell her how bad things are, and so yes, maybe they'd like it if I cut her off completely, but I think they're also kind of making demands that I come down hard on her.
Yeah, Joe, what do you think?
Right, so Ellie, so everybody, they're upset with mom for keeping this a secret and for going outside the marriage. It sounds like, and yet I'm wondering, it also seems like your mom and your dad decided to raise this child together, if your dad even knew about it as not being his, that
he did. Yeah,
okay,
he did.
So he as two adults, where something has happened in the relationship, they chose to come back together and to move forward with this, right? Which is their choice.
They did.
Okay.
They did.
And
yeah.
Is your father no longer living?
Yeah, he passed away in 2007.
Okay, because it would have been really interesting to get his take on it, right? And how he stepped up to be your sister's father, right?
That's part of the conflict that and the pain.
And so I understand when information is new, it's shocking and it takes a while to process it. And I'm wondering if any of you have been able to process it with your mom, or are they just kind of drawing the battle lines and deciding to push her out?
Ellie, have you stay on
we'll
the line?
We'll talk about that after. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you you heard the music. Yeah, just stay on the line here. I'd love to unpack that just a bit, and then I want to send you, we're going to talk during the break about a resource we can send you to kind of help you more specifically with this. I don't care when the pain happened, when the hurt happened, when you find out, it shifts things in your family, and so we hear that in your voice. And if you're calling, just stay on the line. We'll get to you here in a second. But we want to make sure we get to Ellie and her resource for her. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for joining us today here on New Life Live. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm here with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Ellie has been sharing about this, I said the word bombshell earlier, just report of this stuff with her family of origin. And just want to give just a a final word here from you ladies, and then a resource that maybe we can send to Ellie for the situation.
Well, there certainly are times, Ellie, where it is necessary to separate from a person. If there has been ongoing chronic hurt and unrepentant sinful behavior that has continued to hurt you and your sisters. So we imagine that this is not the only painful or destructive thing that your mother has done. And so there's even a biblical basis for this, that if you've confronted a person with that ongoing sin and they refuse to change their behavior, sometimes we do need to separate for a time in order to protect our heart. And so it may be that that's what your sisters need to do. But if that is not your view of it, then I think there are a couple of things you can do. Certainly validating their hurt, which it sounds like you've already done. Clarifying their request, because there's a little bit of confusion. Are they asking you not to talk to your mom? Are they asking you to confront your mom with this information? Clarify what it is that they want from you. And then decide what can you do and what are you not able or willing to do, and be very clear with them. Try to continue to find ways that you can be supportive of your sisters, but clearly state your values and why you're choosing to stay in relationship with your mom.
Yeah. Well said.
And the truth often does need to be confronted. So if none of you have had a good conversation with your mom, I think that's a really important place to start. But not coming at it from a place of attacking, but trying to understand. This was a long time ago, 60 years ago, and understanding what was going on at that time and why your mother would even choose this, I think, is an important place to begin.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was an infidelity in my family history, and for a time, I had to cease communication until I could garner the strength, until I could grieve and be angry about it, and then choose what to do. And eventually, I chose relationship again. But for a time, Ellie, I also had to say, I've got to be done for right now. I'm too hurt by this.
Right, and that's in the hurt and the anger, right?
Yes, it is.
So that may be where your sisters are at, Ellie.
Yeah, I'm thinking of healing as a choice. I as a resource. I don't know if you ladies have anything else suggested, but just when I have,
that's a great one.
You know, when I have things in my life that are big revelations, things that I was not aware of, that I'm now made aware of, and this was something that I wanted to ask, or at least maybe suggest, but it's a better way of saying it, is this kind of big. When you hear big news like this, does it make other smaller problems that felt manageable, easily overcomable, do those now become, you know, to use an analogy of like a small pothole now becomes a sinkhole just because of this other bigger event that's now complicating other things? It really does. When you have something like that that's been held in secrecy, I just was, over the break, I was sharing this quote, Andy Stanley, pastor in Georgia, he says, we don't recognize the consequences of confession because we've yet to realize the consequences of concealment. So my summary of that is that we think confession is way, way, way hard in the short term and long term. But actually, it's only hard in the short term. You have to confess what's actually happening. But in the long term, goodness gracious, I think there could be some serious healing that can happen. Conversely, though, concealing it, it makes things quite easy in the short term. You're stuffing it, you're putting it in a time capsule, burying it out in the backyard. You'll have to be really, really lucky just to happen to find out that information. But usually what happens is that that information is found out. The truth eventually comes out. There's an expiration date on it. And boy, in the long term, it could do significant damage because of holding those things in secrecy.
The delay of the disclosure does exacerbate the pain.
Does.
And it complicates it even more, because then it's that much more difficult to rebuild the trust after all that time. As a recovering chronic liar myself, sometimes I've justified my lie as my attempt to protect myself primarily, but other people as well, from the damaging information. And there's no getting away from this kind of truth of infidelity or of a child outside of wedlock. It is hurtful, damaging information, no matter which way we try to spin it. But not disclosing it makes it that much worse.
Well, and nowadays it's almost impossible to keep it secret, because so many people do these DNA checks, right? So, yeah, it's bound to come out. And I agree with you, the longer the time. And so it's not just the act that has happened. It's that, okay, you didn't trust me enough to tell me. You betrayed me, right? You've been lying all these years, right? That is even more painful.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like we had a bit of a theme today in just some of the calls that we got, just this idea of secrecy that seemed to continue to rear its head. I mean, how do you – I find that when – in my life, when I've kept things a secret, you have to do so much. It requires so much of you to maintain that secrecy, and yet somehow we think that's actually – better or more freeing than to actually let it go and to say the truth. And and it can go on for multiple, I mean, again, Ellie said 60 years, six decades that this was not happening. And so I just, in that theme of secrecy, I if you're listening today, and even if you don't have the same situation, boy, reject the urge, if at all possible, and with wise counsel, just to not let that happen, not to rule your life.
And I want to give some additional steps to break through deception, since I have and continue to struggle with it on my own. Sometimes I can't yet reveal my lie, my hidden secret, to the person I've directly hurt. I have to start off admitting to myself I am holding on to information that needs to be shared with someone else. I have to admit it to God and ask for his help. Lord, I don't want to be honest about this. I want to keep lying about it, so I need your help to break through. Then I usually need to tell somebody who is not involved in the situation. And it's these incremental strength-building steps that then help me sometimes break through my deception to be honest with the person I've hurt directly. But those smaller steps are a little bit more doable than directly revealing first. So if you struggle with it like I do, try these steps out.
Yeah, no, that's great. I appreciate your openness, Alice, too. We just have a couple minutes here. If you're on the line, we're going to get to you in the next hour. Please hang out with us for the next hour. Take your calls, 1-800-229-3000, but just since we have a couple more minutes and probably don't have enough time to
let me just jump in and say what you just outlined is what my book, The Secrets Women Keep, also discusses, right? Because it's that idea we're only as sick as our secrets, right? And but we do have to start with ourselves, because we erect all kinds of reasons and things to not disclose something. We are so fearful of something coming out, or a truth coming out, or admitting it, right? And yet that is the beginning of our healing, to be able to admit it to ourselves, to admit it to God, to admit it to another person, right? Like you said, that is removed. Start there, and we build the courage to then disclose it. And you can't imagine the relief, right, that's on the other side.
It's immense.
And often it can be just a state of how we view our lives, right? And then we erect kind of this isolation. And I'm always amazed at how many of our callers call in and they don't really have a support system. They don't have people around them.
Yeah.
They're isolated. And I think part of that, we do it to ourselves. That even if we are amongst people, if we don't let ourselves be truly known to anyone, then we're going to feel more and more alone and isolated in the world.
That's
and
right.
then when we really are in need of help, we won't know who to turn to, because we've walled ourselves off.
Yeah, well said. Well said. Ladies, thanks so much for just sharing your wisdom. That's just good stuff. Don't suffer alone. Don't suffer in isolation. Talk about that. I think the importance of community cannot be overstated. If you found this show helpful or anything that we shared today, and you know a friend who's going through a tough situation, please feel free to share this. Newlife.com. All the links are there. Share the podcast. Thanks again for hanging out with us today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.